Good morning. Today is Thursday, August 25th, 2016. It is 9 a.m. This is the County Administration Workshop. And we have a full board this morning. Simon is back from his quick trip to somewhere. Salem. Eugene? Okay.
Mexico.
And official business he had to go to. So, okay, we're all here. First up this morning is the airport. This is the FAA AIP Grant 007 Award and Agreement for Upgrade Runway Lighting, Airport Electrical Service, and Redesign Parking Ramps at Illinois Airport. And this is in typical FAA fashion.
No,
you've got 1 week to do it.
Yep. Yeah, we received the offer yesterday morning. And there's urgency on their part to have everything agreed upon and signed by the end of August. So, here we are.
We're here today.
We have, most of the spade work's been done over the last 6 months. We've been working with first to select our engineering company who's going to do our civil engineering for us. That's Precision Approach out at the Illinois Valley Airport. And then put together a scope of work and a statement of work and an estimated cost, et cetera, and then submit all of that with a formal request for grant aid from the FAA. And that went in several weeks ago. It's an amazing document. It's like 60 pages long, and I think I had to sign it in 13 or 17 different spots. It's just... And if you look at the list of obligations and requirements that we have to agree to, it's very impressive. It's just pages and pages and pages.
And this is normal, I'm assuming.
This is absolutely normal. And we do this every time we accept grant aid from the feds. And it's generally a great thing for the airports and for the county, because there's no other way that we could afford, capital improvements of this magnitude. So... this is phase one of a two-phase project. Phase one is the environmental determination and engineering design for medium-intensity runway lighting, new electrical service at the airport, new beacon lights, and a complete new replaced airport parking area at midfield. And then phase two, which is the actual construction, will be coming along next year. So about a year from now, I'll be sitting here asking you to approve another grant award, and this one will be for about $1.6 million for the actual construction of all the improvements. So it's a multi-year project, but...
Okay, we have another meeting in time to get this done.
Are we going to have a weekly business session next Wednesday?
On the 31st, but you have to have it back in by the 31st.
By the end of business on the 31st.
Over the hurdle.
So,
That's right.
I can scan the fully executed documents and email them to the FAA, although they require the originals.
As a follow-up.
On the 31st.
Yeah, so I'll be busy next Wednesday after your weekly business session.
Did you overlook the install precision approach path indicator?
We are going to install those. Yes.
I didn't even mention that.
You're right.
I have no idea.
I may not have. It allows you to approach on a precise path.
You go on all the stuff. And the one I got a kick out of was the Buy American was there. But they have a ban on texting while driving clause in there?
Yep. I have to certify that nobody associated with this project will text while they're driving.
Amen. Yes.
And, of course, I am in complete control of all of that.
Oh, sure. And it's good, too, to see that there's no trafficking in persons allowed either.
Yes, correct. Right. I'll have to quit my sideline of selling babies and stuff.
Golly, that's unbelievable.
There are probably 100
like
such prohibitions and regulations and...
And you certify to all of them.
Yep.
Okay, so we can have this on the weekly business session next week at 9 o'clock. Is our stuff we have on here today, our WBS next week isn't going to be very long, is it?
I think there's two hearings.
Nice try, though.
I have to leave.
So you're next Wednesday.
Was the second coincidental?
By 11. I have to leave no later than, I mean, probably 10:30.
Oh, poor God. Was it simply
coincidental that the federal legislation applicable federal is A through Z? Is it simply coincidental?
A through C?
D is Z.
Oh, A through Z, no. No, there's more than that.
Okay, I'll just learn.
Yeah. I think they ran out of paper.
I have to be at a meeting in Medford that day. That's a lunch meeting. We'll probably leave right at around 11.
So. I have to catch a plane at 12:55.
Yeah, so you need to leave at 11 at least.
I need to leave probably
10:30. Yeah. Well, I'll be here till 11.
Huh?
I'll be here till 11, and then I got to go.
Well, we can make sure that if you agree to all this and approve it, then we will capture your signatures while you are still at the ambassador before you leave.
Well, it's not on this agenda. I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't see any hearings on here.
No, it wouldn't be on here. If they're just public hearings. I can go find out from her.
Yeah, would you find out what the hearings are? Because the Food and Friends won't take very long.
I
don't care.
Okay.
Just nothing bothers me.
All right.
I can put up with you. I can put up with Daniel. I've been waiting for that today. You went right into that one.
The second reading and adoption of the ordinance for farming.
For the industrial.
Oh, yes.
That won't take long,
and the Food and Friends won't take long. Okay, now, we're going to have a pact here. We're not talking that day.
No.
We're not talking that day. Yep. Because the two of us have
keep
to leave.
Keep it short sweet.
I cried for you, man. If I am moved because I'm conscious, I must say something.
Oh, my gosh. That's the preacher coming out. Okay, if he's moved to speak.
I promise not to eat. If you put it on the consent calendar, I just want you to show up. You won't be it.
Oh, you can't put it on the consent, darn it.
Oh, darn it.
So, okay, we'll put it on next. I was just wondering if we needed to approve it today to avoid that, but I think we've got time Wednesday. So we'll put it on Wednesday.
Before we leave, we'll get it done.
And if I have to say, before, no further discussion. No, maybe I won't even ask for further comment.
That wouldn't be preferred.
Any comment? No.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none.
Any further discussion? We had all the discussion we're having. Okay. All right. So we have that agreement. You put your fingerprint down on it.
Excellent.
Okay. It's on Wednesday, Larry.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. And good luck catching your planes. So.
Isn't it nice that since we aren't in a fishbowl, we have a wonderful time here?
Yeah. Yeah, the atmosphere is definitely different.
Okay. Thanks, Larry.
Okay.
I think Larry should attend.
Yep.
Because this is stuff, I know what these things are, but if anybody asks any questions...
Don't wait until after the meeting that they sign.
Yeah, because we'll have to sign it before.
Next Wednesday.
Yes.
Well, I said that. I said we're going to sign it right in the ambassador. I'm going to stand there.
Yeah. Well, you have to because she's flying out and I'm leaving.
Really?
Will.
Yeah.
I'll bring the blue pen.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Okay. Quarterly update, public health. Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
You guys are in rare form this morning.
Yeah, we're getting more like it's typical.
Normal people.
Typical.
Yeah, we're much more relaxed. We have a whole lot more fun.
That's awesome. It's good to see you. So, just want to make everyone aware, I'm doing a demonstration project and a goodwill outreach effort to members of the county, working with Medical Teams International to have a mobile dental van. Operate a dental clinic for Justin County residents who don't have any insurance coverage.
So who's Medical Team International? Who is that?
It's a group. Their main goal is to serve rural areas, and the target being those who can't afford dental care or a way to pay for it. They have 11 mobile dental vans that they operate in Oregon and Washington.
So no, that was part of the, that's been a long-standing concern. They've had different efforts have made because these have a dental van at Siskiyou Community Health Center went out.
Right.
So this is... Now, this is much more permanent? Is it?
It's not going to be permanent. Right now, it's just a one-time thing. I'm going to see kind of how it goes because there is a cost to this. The host organization is expected to pay $1,250, and even though that's within the scope of my authority, it's not a formal part of the budget, which is why I'm bringing it forward to you. The staff, the volunteer dentists and hygienists, All Care Health is helping me get those people. The liability rests with the hygienist and the dentist and their license, basically.
It seems like the Josephine County Community Foundation, because they do those things for eyes and other things, might be a good partner. They're looking for things like this. What I'd like to see them do is do things like this, as opposed to trying to do things like the maintaining of the life jackets. That's a little bit outside of what they can keep up with on a day-to-day basis when students are graduating and, you know, you have a new class. Well, we're not into that. You know what I mean? This is something they can sign up on a weekend, do, and it's done.
Still only one Friday.
It's a great success, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Within their wheelhouse, what I would say. That
Josephine County Community Foundation?
Josephine County Foundation. It's the students. They started. It originated at Hidden Valley High School. And what's his name?
Chris Pendleton. I'll send you his contract.
So it's going to be...
Well, we're roommates for a little while, so I think we're pretty close.
So it's going to be our job to help set up the appointments, triage, get histories. So there is going to be a volunteer requirement for this. So anyway, it's scheduled right now for October 21st, so we have time to really do this in a good way and get the word out there that, you know, Josephine County is stepping out to do something for those that don't have any health insurance.
And who is the sponsoring agency of this whole big picture? Is this a private group that is doing this? Or is it a federal group?
The Medical Teams International is a not-for-profit, as I understand it. And the Johnson practice, Matt Johnson and his practice, they're the first ones who had brought it to Grants Pass several years ago.
Okay.
They kind of don't have the capacity to volunteer anymore. My understanding is they're going to be built. They're building a new clinic, and their practice is expanding. If the public health department in the future is going to be offering dental-ish services, I wanted to kind of, this is kind of an orientation for me too as the administrator to see what that really entails. Second item on your update is in the last quarter, public health department conducted 180 community disease investigations. That's really going to be 181 as of today.
That sounds like a lot.
It is a lot. The one today is a particular concern. A staff member from Wildlife Images got bit by a bat yesterday. And so Officer Pitts went out to pick it up today. We'll send it off for testing.
How does that happen? Why aren't they using, like, welding gloves or something when they're dealing with these, you know, the stuff with the leather that comes up to here? It's just...
I'm sure they're going through their whole incident system, right?
Yeah, right.
But because we have had three rabies positive bats in the last 6 months.
It seems to be the... rage going around right now. There's a lot more reports of rabid animals, and then I recall in the immediate past anyway, there seemed to be more of that, whether it's bats or the skunks or whatever too. So.
Well, in our county, it's mostly bats and foxes. Last year, Curry County had a domestic cat that was found positive for rabies, and you probably all saw the Courier article about. There were seven animals in 1 week tested in Holbrook County, California, which is just, you know, two counties away. And so the state veterinarian contacted me to let me know about that so we can just kind of be on the lookout. So my policy right now is 100% of contact with people, they all get tested. And if it's acting neurologically impaired, even if it hasn't been in contact with a person, we're testing it.
Is the treatment still the shots, a series of shots, the subcutaneous shots? Is that still the treatment?
That is still the treatment, isn't it, Commissioner Walker?
Yes, I've had it. Yes, it is.
So the good part, if there's a good part to this, is that worker had received the rabies prophylaxis series, so has some protection. So So regardless of how the bat comes mm-hmm. back, yeah, we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah.
Of the communicable diseases that we investigated in the last quarter, 107 were for sexually transmitted diseases. Syphilis continues to be a concern.
And where is the growth chart on that? Is it up, down, level?
It's up, but all these aren't necessarily new kinds of questionable choices. One contact is elderly, so it might be something that they were exposed to in the past but just didn't demonstrate symptoms of it. One of the indicators of this particular case was dementia, and something made the practitioner check for it.
So it's a syphilis issue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just seems, you know, that having gone through that time frame when syphilis was an unknown, I mean, you had other sexually transmitted disease, but not syphilis. That was sort of, that was long gone.
Right.
And it's coming back around again now. You say, good night almighty.
And Dr. Candelaria in the last year has put a memo out to area providers to just consider it, consider testing for it if you have a client you can't explain their symptoms, because it's just making them aware it's on the rise. So item number three, good news, the department closed with a fund balance of $115,141.80.
You said it was smile.
I do, because this does not include the starting fund balance that will be added back or accounts receivables not yet received for services performed at the end of the fiscal year.
One other question on communicable diseases. Of the 107, sexually transmitted diseases, the other 83 were, or 73 were, like measles, or what were the other 73?
It varies. We know that three of them were the rabies investigations.
Okay.
There are other types of cats and dogs that are kind of out there. Mm-hmm. Public health modernization is well underway. Without boring you with all the gory details, this is really going to be, in my personal opinion, this is an unfunded mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon Health Authority, they pushed out this tool to assess public health department's capacity and capability to provide these 10 essential services. It's their intent to present the next legislature with a bill to help the state of Oregon comply with the House bill that established the public health modernization work. According to Josh Ballack, on Monday night, he estimates that there's an anticipated $250 million to $1 billion hole in the Oregon Health Authority next biennium 17-19 budget. So it'll be really interesting to see how this modernization package is received.
I remember it was over 2 years ago. This was passed in the session almost 4 years ago.
Right.
And a discussion on implementation, this regionalization and all that. And it was like probably two-thirds of the people in the room were going, this isn't going to be really a big mess. And then there was that core group of people that were pretty much the lobbyists of the legislature that thought this was going to be a fabulous thing. And we kept bringing up issues, well, what about this? And it would just be glossed over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, what about this?
It would
be glossed over. And they were all things that carried dollar signs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't seem to be, it was like, we're going to do this, hell or high water, and not worry about it. And I said, you know, you're not doing a very good service for the rural public health.
That's exactly
departments.
Right.
You know, if you're in a metropolitan area, you know, you have other resources and, you know, the ebb and flow is there, but you can handle whatever it is. But near a rural area, doesn't work.
Yeah, we are not Salem and Portland.
No.
And it's totally coincidental that those are the areas that have the voting bases.
Yes.
Totally coincidental in those.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking about consolidation, which is part of it, regionalization and consolidation of some of this public health service stuff, it's okay to consolidate Multnomah and Washington County,
because
you can be in each other's county in 5 minutes. You know, not so here.
Well, and there are some services where it would make sense.
Mm-hmm. It would.
An epidemiologist. You know, Josephine County doesn't need its own epidemiologist,
no.
And probably Jackson County and Klamath and Curry don't either. But, I mean, we all share the same medical examiner.
Mm-hmm.
So for those really specialized types of public health activities,
mm-hmm.
it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of the day-to-day, like these communicable disease investigations, not so much.
Yeah.
Right. Well, remains to be seen.
So in your package, one of the attachments is just this is the document I'm supposed to be sharing with elected officials about creating a healthier Oregon and public health modernization means that everyone in Oregon can expect public protection critical to their health and the health of future generations. So if after you review this model, I made it 2 pages, or 1 page front and back to save paper. If you have any questions after you review this, I'd be happy to answer them.
Working together in another, what's the projection, another 25 to 30 years, there will not be any illnesses at all in Oregon. That's a good sign.
And Commissioner Walker has the
time. Why did you pick 30 years? Yeah, because you won't be here to figure it out.
And if the commissioners are interested in seeing what the proposed rollout timeline is, as I have it as with Commissioner Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Simon, any questions?
I have some, but I'll let you go through.
Okay. The CAP building is nearing completion. We're shooting for October for a grand opening to invite the public in to review everything. My hat's off to BOM. They've really, it's been slow going, but Ryan's been good at shepherding the process through, and I really appreciate his help.
That's a challenge that we're facing all over our construction issues because there's so much demand for them. It's not Ryan, even if there's a way he would have wanted it done a long time ago. It's a matter of keeping them, the contractors and stuff, on getting them lined up. They're just, everybody I've called, they're just...
Yeah, and that's a nice problem.
We'll see you
for them
right.
In the fall, at the end of the fall. It's
I can't even get anybody to come to fix some doors I need.
Yeah. We're having to take our door into the place and have them work on it. And they say, well, we can get to it in a few minutes in between, blah, blah, blah. But if we have to come out, it'll be...
Yeah, they have to come out to do mine because it's the framing that's dry rotted. So needs to be replaced.
Be a while.
So, but Ryan's been great with keeping the lines of communication open.
That's right.
And his folks are there several times a week working on things. Starting next week, the Oregon Health Authority will be in my department to conduct the triennial review of all of my programs. My only concern about the triennial this year is we've had so much turnover. There's not a lot of historical knowledge. There's an administrative tool we've been kind of cranking through that we'll be reviewing with Oregon Health Authority staff through the next 2 weeks. So it might not be as good as the last one, but it is what it is, and I will work through whatever findings they have.
I think reviews are good from a standpoint that they show you stuff to work on.
I agree.
It's not a bad idea.
I agree.
Public Health Works is getting theirs this fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad thing to expose places to work on. I think nobody's going to disagree, or I'll go to the mat from a standpoint fiscally, Diane, since you've been here, it's been a focus. If things are left to not the same kind of level of attention that they'd like to be, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You've done the priorities that this board has set up. You've done well and above of anything that our expectation is.
Okay.
If there are things that are lacking, we'll work on. Scott Chancy gets his review.
Mm-hmm.
He does a phenomenal job with what he's doing. And there's always stuff to work on, so don't worry about it at all.
Okay. And it's a good orientation for new staff to look at the tool and see, what are we really contracted with the Oregon Health Authority is?
Yeah.
What their expectations are.
Sure.
So.
And sometimes there's going to be disagreements. I mean, I can
That's
see,
true.
The Oregon Health Authority saying, well, we need you to blah, blah, blah. Same thing with the Federal Transit Administration.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott will comply. But is it a priority for us to meet that as far as it's their priority? Maybe not, because we're interested in serving the constituents. And if there's some checked box that doesn't make it, we'll get that checked box done, but it's not.
Sure.
It's not the first priority.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing a fine job.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
The last thing I want to share with you, because it's, you know, part of our trying to get the word out there on the good stuff we're doing, the sneak preview is going to have several ads. We're starting a campaign about just reminding the public that nicotine and marijuana smoke don't just affect the human element in the household, they also affect your pets. So there are going to be a couple of runs in the sneak preview that look kind of like this. There's going to be a couple runs in the Daily Courier like this. And we have also put together a trifold, Protect Those Who You Love, their lifeline. So it's a small trifold that talks about your pet's environment is as important as your own.
Is there any discussion on that? I think it's a good thing. People often don't think about that kind of stuff. But I see people in this extreme heat. There's the campaign for people not keeping their dogs in cars has been robust, and I think we haven't heard of that happening that much. And when it does, people take actions appropriately to deal with it. But I see people walking their dogs in the heat on the highway, and there's no way the person could stand on that. Now, we don't have the pads that dogs do, but it just seems inhumane to have a dog walking on the road, even asphalt. Sidewalk, asphalt in general, in the heat of the day, without any consideration that they're touching something that's like 120 degrees or
hotter than that.
Yeah. My parents had some people come looking at our barn roof, and they were going to work on it during the day. And he had one of those guns where you can see what the temperature is.
Yeah, we have those with brand
176 degrees on the roof in the middle of the day. So they obviously didn't get up to work. But I would imagine that the asphalt in certain areas is the same way.
Absolutely.
Having these dogs without any other option but to just abide by their owner.
I hear you.
It's really not a pleasant thing to watch.
It's not. It's not. And all we can do is just remind people, you know, to make them think.
Right. Yeah, a lot of times they're not people who have a lot of options, I'd say. I don't know how to publicly.
Right.
Just the right politically correct way to say it. They're not exactly at a capacity to take care of a dog adequately.
They don't think of those consequences,
let alone.
Well, and, you know, that's some of the, I guess, someone asked me yesterday, you know, what's my biggest frustration related to the shelter these days? And it's people who get arrested, their dogs come into our care, they get out of jail, and they want their dogs back for free. Well, we've got county fees that, you know, they have
apply
to pay.
To everyone.
They apply to everybody. And there's been a cost incurred for taking care of their animal for however long we've had them. And then they go on social media and they say, the shelter's stealing my dog. Mm-hmm. No, we've taken care of your dog.
Because you couldn't take care of yourself in a lot of situations.
Right. So that's like kind of a frustration. And a lot of times those people shouldn't necessarily own animals.
Mm-hmm.
But
Is there some kind of a card or something that the jail could have when they take a dog that those people are given to read so they know? I mean, it's like a disclosure, because when they go into the jail, they do the fingerprinting and, you know, all kinds of information and logging in all their stuff and saying, by the way, we've impounded your dog and now we're taking care of it for you and this is what it's going to cost. Or if you have someone that can go get it for you, then authorize them to do it.
Well, and we've started an effort toward that end. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, this is just based on anecdotal and stuff that's being passed to me. Initially, when they're asked to sign their animal over, they're not necessarily in the frame of mind that they would agree that that's in the best interest of the animal. They just know that that's their animal. It's just something that we continue to try to work through. I certainly don't want to give the guys over at the jail another piece of paper or, you know, one more burden on their end. It's got to kind of be a two-way street.
Right.
If we know their owner's in jail, we can try to reach out.
I mean, you hate to sound callous about the whole thing, but yet, if I'm driving a car down 6th Street at 75 miles an hour and I hit three other cars,
I'm going to have some consequences to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hopefully get insurance or whatever. If you have a dog and you're out breaking the law, there are consequences to that. And those consequences include my family for driving my car. My family's going to be impacted in certain ways. Your animal is going to be impacted in certain ways because of your behavior.
Is there something we could do so to accommodate people low income or whatever in our parks department we offer? You can get your annual day use pass for 8 hours of volunteering. Family of four, 2 hours of whatever you know parks need. Is there a capacity to have volunteers doing something?
I've tried
that. That'd be challenging because
what's happened?
Just a thought.
Well,
I don't know.
What's happened? I've tried that at least three times.
Okay.
And what happens is because I don't want their dog.
No.
So I let them have their dog back. They sign an agreement that they're going to volunteer, and then they don't show.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
You know, so it's kind of a trust thing that's kind of been broken with me. And I know that's only three people, but that was enough to kind of say, okay, maybe this isn't such a good idea anymore.
Three out of three or three out of five, that's not a good...
Yeah, I mean...
I got my dog, I don't care. You know,
that's kind
I'll tell
of
you anything you want to hear, just get my dog back.
Right. And even I've even tried to put people on payment plans.
Mm-hmm.
And then that makes the burden of... responsibility for chasing them down afterwards, and then they've moved, and we can't find them. And
well, the sheriff tried that earlier with the day use fee for being incarcerated, so they'd get out and they owed $1,700. Okay, so who's going to pay that? Well, it goes to the collection agency.
Well, so then you just make scoff law people further illegals.
There's a philosophy behind that, that people are incurring a cost, society's paying for it twice from the standpoint that they were victimized, and then we're having to incarcerate them and pay for all of that. So it was a very small amount of the whole procedural cost to society,
mm-hmm.
and to just to have people go through the system and say, it wasn't free for you to just do this beside the victim, you know, whatever. You cost society, and we're asking for $50 a day
mm-hmm.
of that. That's all that was.
So no, I know what
the philosophy was fine, but it practically we knew it wasn't going to really result in a revenue stream. It was more of a maybe teachable element. I think you have to apply something, because if you don't try to apply something, mm-hmm. why does anybody pay?
Mm-hmm.
It's whether or not it's really effective at the end of the day, it might be just a principal element that you're not just giving you.
I mean, responsibility.
How many got
means something?
Yeah.
If I want to be irresponsible, whatever. There are consequences of that. You've lost your dog. You have lost your car. You have lost your family. And those are consequences to my behavior, and we just don't like to enforce the consequences because of the. Make people feel bad or whatever. I'm sorry. Just there are consequences, and I'm sorry. You've lost your animal, and hopefully we can find a more stable home for them or whatever. And,
exactly right.
And go from there. And be good for the best for the dog. And if you really care for the dog, you'll understand that too. So.
Right. Exactly right. That's all I have. Okay. Anything else?
You have any cute dogs? Do they have any home? Simon needs one.
I do not. I'm not responsible enough.
You're not responsible.
I know this because I had.
I mean, we trusted you at the auction to spend our money, and you're saying
that animal. It says right on the bottom, you cannot take it home. I know from my experience with plants, I'm not home consistently enough to. It just wouldn't be fair to me. Fair to a dog.
Well, you're a plastic dog.
Yeah, I'm good.
I respect the fact that you know what the boundaries should be.
I certainly want a dog. I really do. I haven't had my own dog since I was in high school, middle school, high school. And I love dogs. But
sure.
I'm just not in a place in my life where it would be fair.
And take care of a dog.
Yeah.
Well, I respect that.
And I will someday. Mm-hmm. I'll get there. And, but for right now, I'm looking at what Douglas County's doing. And I'm not saying I'm never going to advocate for that. It is an interesting process that they're going through and divesting themselves, the county, so to speak, of their certain responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is I don't want to just maintain a program because we're maintaining a program, I'd like to compare, you know, what are the positives of the number of clients, the quality of service, mm-hmm. relative to what they're doing? And is there any kind of a best practices idea that, you know what, we do this, but we don't have to do that anymore. We could give that to them. We will always do this. Kind of like with the CCO model. Maybe we're going through that already, just our own. We kind of started it first anyway. I respect Tim Freeman's creative thinking on this because I know that he was pretty involved in writing some of the legislation to kind of bring these things, at least conceptually, mm-hmm. to the table as options for us, the CCO and others. It doesn't even have to happen. Just in the back of your mind, and I'm sure you are, at some point doing like a review of, that's an interesting thought I hadn't thought of. Because when we've discussed it, mm-hmm. he's got some interesting concepts, and I think we're kind of going along the lines. I don't want to repeat myself, but I think we're doing a version. We have been doing a version mm-hmm. for the last couple of years.
Well, it's the whole notion of what's inherently governmental and what's not.
Right.
And I disagree on with some of the modernization categorization of the 10 fundamental capabilities
mm-hmm.
because I could make an argument against some of what the things that they say are fundamental as having to be government.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
well, maybe we have that conversation at some point. Maybe it's just you and I. I don't know if the board has. Long-term interest in that, so something for a discussion.
Sure. Okay.
No.
I think something that sets our department aside from others or apart from others is that it has to have a certain amount of support and priority from the board. There's a lot of places that don't make public health a priority. It's kind of out there, and we got to do it because the state says you have to do certain things, and consequently, it doesn't become part of an integrated part of the community. And here we have done that.
Right.
It is an important part of the community, and I think that we have tried to keep it that way, even with the limited funding that we have had, because we recognize the importance of having that department. But we also recognize that with the state not providing, you know, the adequate funding, that we have to find other ways to do it. And Diane's been very a key person in doing that and finding the ways to keep it in the black. She threw away the red ink pen.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I don't have a personal interest in public health. I think that's the one issue, or tax. There's a couple other political issues. It's not that I'm not interested, it's just that it seems overwhelming for me from a policy standpoint to get my head around it. And it seems so complex that I'll just leave that up to other people who are passionate, who do have that, and I respect their opinion. That's mm-hmm. pretty key to me. But I don't want to be siloed from a standpoint that where our focus is determined on the board is based on what our interests are, because those are going to shift over change. I'm interested in serving the constituents of Josephine County and doing it in a fiscally responsible mm-hmm. way and the best possible service for the least cost for the taxpayer. So just to make sure that that's my matrix, and that's how I'm interested in public health, and that we're looking at those best practices that are seemingly, since the Affordable Care Act got passed, you know, healthcare has been kind of going through this from insurance to, mm-hmm. to collective care, the whole thing that we're picking up on best practices and being dynamic, which I feel like we are, mm-hmm. frankly, going through uncharted territory before, simultaneously with the rollout of mm-hmm. The Affordable Care Act and that sort of thing. So it's not that I have any criticism of where we are. It's just that we're maintaining that active
right.
engagement. And
well,
where's the future of healthcare?
Exactly.
This community certainly needs it. I know that mm-hmm. where we rank, regardless of the rankings, we have issues in Josephine County that mm-hmm. we've made progress on. I think the teen smoking one mm-hmm. seems to me, anecdotally, has been making progress. There's a number of different things that I think that's the annual health statistic chart. We are making progress.
There's a long way to go.
We have a long way to go on a lot of different things.
We're making progress in some areas. But
yeah. It's encouraging to talk to people like Scott Draper that we have, you know, per capita, more access to health workout facilities in Josephine County than almost mm-hmm. anywhere. I'm not so sure that the number of drive-through coffee, it's not coffee they're selling anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sweet drink. Mm-hmm. It's the Pepsi Coke of yesteryear.
But it's also a relationship issue.
It is.
Because people are siloed and they feel welcome at these, what are the places that you have to. And that's great.
Yep.
It's a societal issue, not just a coffee issue.
Right.
Well, and I will kind of, in closing, when the department was going through that tool,
mm-hmm.
I was criticized by some of my peers, other administrators, because of the private partner relationship, I was suppressing what the true cost of public health should be and not forcing the community to the table to pay more taxes. Well, that might be their value. That's not my value. My value is to make it happen
right.
in whatever way I can and be fiscally responsible and get it done however it can best be done, because ultimately it's taxpayer money.
It's not just you that feels that pressure. It's every county department that makes it when every other county department in the state can't do it. It puts pressure on them. It's like, well, if Josephine County can do it, and I got it yesterday at the meeting in Eugene, if you've seen one county in Oregon, you've seen one county in Oregon, and then there's Josephine County. We are an anomaly of anomalies, but sometimes in a positive way, and people don't like that.
Yeah.
They don't like the fact that you're thinking creatively to where, yeah, why aren't you doing that? I have boards of directors all over the state that say, how do you make your park system work? Our park system is bigger than most anybody else's. And it's in the black. Your fairgrounds is in the black. And your public health department's in the black. Are we doing everything we wish we could do? No.
No.
Mm-hmm. We're prioritizing. We're wicked frugal. But now what's really weird is, like, for public health, you're ending with a balance. Parks is ending with a balance and getting a reserve established. I've had two counties call me about, how did you get your reserve, you know, in parks? It's like, well, you guys sell and you distribute all the money back to the taxing districts. We don't do that, you know. Stuff like that. It's just little things that make for those mm-hmm. different
differences. Yeah. In the long run.
Save nickels to make dollars.
Yeah. And I think we're making progress mm-hmm. in that.
And I think that's part of where some of the criticism comes in. Every year when we do the budget, and you hear people say, well, you've got this money over here, why aren't you spending it all? Well, that's how we got here mm-hmm. when we had a lot of timber money. Mm-hmm. There was none of it put in reserve. But for the last, 8 years now, the county made the fiscal decision, and Arthur's here, but the county made the fiscal decision to have those reserve accounts for specific things so that when you have the need, the money is there. And you're not going back to the taxpayer and saying, oh my gosh, we're in a crisis now, we need more money. The only exception to that is a public safety, because that was never done. And because of the huge amount of money that's needed for it, we haven't been able to do it. And but we've been doing it, you know, with the property reserves and the vehicle reserves, all the things that we have saved money for. And consequently, we're able to do it. And because we have people who have creative thought processes of, you know, invention is the mother of, what is it?
Necessity
invention
is the mother.
Yeah, something like that. And they're stepping up to the plate, just like you and parks and forestry and all of them. They're stepping up to the plate and say, okay, how can we do this? And we have done everything we can to facilitate it. I think that's an important part, too.
It is.
Is that when some of these counties say that to us, particularly when Simon was up at this other meeting, when they say that, say, well, the board has to support
Absolutely.
Creative thinking. The board has to help these people, have to facilitate them in making those decisions. So,
because there's risk in some of those
mm-hmm.
ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
Okay.
Thank you. Good job.
Ms. Hoover, appreciate it.
Okay, and now we have, drum roll, finance. Archer, he's back.
For this week.
For this week?
First thing is, don't mess with my coffee.
Don't mess with my coffee.
I like that fluffy coffee.
Oh, goodness. What I like is a tea latte. I'm not into the coffee.
That does not even sound good.
Oh, it's delicious.
That's fluffy tea.
Fluffy tea in moderation. There's nothing wrong with having a coffee if you're doing your walking and exercising.
Fluffy tea.
You know, people, I have a friend who teaches PE, and there's a middle school girl that comes, and she's got the biggest, I don't want to brand it, but it's got the cream and everything, and she can't do the exercises to get in.
Lots of calories.
Not okay at that age.
Lots of calories.
And I mean, I'm not saying that there's a, I'm looking at it from a fiscal standpoint. Mm. Me as a taxpayer has to pay for that someday, and that offends me that, you know, that I'm going to have to, we all have to pull together and pay for those. And it's an avoidable health issue.
Yeah.
Now the mochas with the cream and the whipped cream on the top.
Oh, it's intense. It's like you're going to McDonald's and it's the 1,200 calories. That's your half daily allowance.
For one burger.
For one thing.
I think so many of these public health issues are ongoing. They'll never go away.
No.
They're continual educational effort because you're always having new people coming on the scene, a new generation every 5-10 years.
People like it.
You know what I found is really, really helpful to me, and this is only required in chain restaurants, is the calorie count on the menu.
Oh, it is helpful to me, too.
It is helpful to me.
Yeah.
Because some things that you think are low-cal are not.
It's amazing how quickly you can overlook those things, too.
Yeah, right. Are they low-cal until you pair them with the fries and the McFlurry?
Which side do you want?
So good.
Which side do you want, salad or fries?
So
okay,
I want to let you know that I've had several conversations with Anita from the IB News. She's going to be doing an article on the budget, the current year 16-17 budget. So
Anita or Nat?
Anita.
Anita.
Savio.
Oh yeah.
She must be new.
Yeah. So we've had some good conversations, and it sounds like it'll be a positive article. I wanted to remind you, I mentioned this last week, but remind you again that we are beginning to pay on the Dimmick loan. It is on the balance, the $957,000 balance, not on the $1.5 million. So it's been reduced by the $500,000 forgiveness grant, but we are paying about $2,395 per month for this coming year. It has been budgeted, so it's in the budget. But beginning July 1, 2017, it will be, this is interest only. July 1, 2017 will be principal and interest. We'll begin that process. So
do we have a status on that?
We're doing a senior housing, community senior housing review to see what the market will bear here, and then after having that, the report from the TGM grant and some others, we should be able to put together a marketing package that tells people this is what we have, this is what the market will bear. So it really behooves you to, as a developer, come in and do this.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
That marketing should be done, I'll say within a week, at least talking with Jerry Walker. He felt it would be done fairly quickly, and then that gives us, then we go to the next step.
Get that out.
The fees, last week we talked a little bit about fee reviews, so I did look at the normal time frame. Is that typically toward the end of September I had sent out a request for departments to get in their fee changes to me. So that gives us time to compile them, get them back to the board, have the board review with the department managers, first reading, second reading, 30-day waiting period, you know, effective January 1st. That being said, if we want to do something prior to that, then I just want to bring that up.
I've been already working with my couple of my liaisons, Parks, is certainly looking at, you know, she's a new director, she's looking at it, how it all fits together.
How it all fits together.
And I think that's really aspect. Key, because yeah. we've got some fees, just as an example, in Parks. You rent a pavilion for $100 or whatever, and then everybody who comes there has to pay the day use fee of $5 unless they have the annual pass. There's no, like, well, of course people are going to drive in with the pavilion, so why don't we just give you 5 passes to start with, or 10 passes, whatever, you know. There's no package with the pavilion, and that's a shortcoming, in my opinion, of where you should get 5 for free. How do we account for that? How do we not just give them 5, and they copy them and make them into 100, you know, for their wedding? So these are some of the challenges that we have to overcome. I think that the other one is the public works and the assessors and planning have, building and safety is the other one. They have project fee synchronized things that, you know, if you're going to put in you need a road access permit. Well, everybody's got to check off on that. And in some situations, there's places where other departments assess fees for other departments, or they have their own fee. Mm-hmm. So nobody's really looking at, when you're doing a lot line adjustment or whatever, it's not planning's $100 fee. It's the fact that everybody's taking a piece of that pie. And at the end of the day, it's $1,000 to get a lot line adjustment. Really, it should be
$400. Yeah.
So, I've reached out to those 4 departments, building and safety, planning, assessors, and public works, with the idea that we just sit down and talk about that philosophy of almost looking at it project by project. Mm-hmm. I think we get there by looking at the comprehensive fee schedules for all those departments. But and I think Ms. Schmelzer's understanding our process now, where it isn't a report by January, because that would really be
off time,
pointless, right? Yes, at that point we need to do it now, and I know I think she assigned it with the expectation of it being done January. I just want to have that initial meeting, and I think we're working on that maybe for next week, at some point soon, so we talk about the
she's out of town this week,
we talk about the philosophy behind it first, and then we put it all together, just like we do the property sales things. We just keep hashing at it. And even if we just refine like 4 different things that people routinely do, and they're not walking out of there writing a $6 check to here and a $5 check to there and whatever, it's user friendly.
The ORS limits the fee changes to every 6 months, I believe. So, whatever we can get done within the next 4 or 5 weeks would be great, but that does not preclude us from doing something else, you know, in the first part of next year, if that's what the timing is. I mean, if that's the inevitable timing.
We'll get it done by January, and if I think there is anything that, oh my gosh, we didn't do that one right, that's not working out, or there's massive use by the 5 passes that we give, as a thing. We're also looking at reviewing the park. There's an ordinance that governs parks. And there's some things in there that Wally and I have talked about that have no business being in an ordinance, that takes the discretion to change things, or even discretion at all, away from the board, puts it in law that we have to abide by as well, that really is administrative. There is elements of requiring an ordinance so that you have a law to enforce. Well, that's fine. But setting some other things, it would be like having our personnel policy refined, codified in the ordinance. And like, you mean we couldn't have the discretion to say, you know, whatever?
Start at step 3 rather than step 2?
No.
You know.
Then why are we here? We don't need to be here. If there's no judgment call, you know, it's just black and white. So anyway, we're looking at working on that as well.
Okay. Thank you. And then this next one, this is the McKenzie Trust. This is, I'll apologize up front. Terry's been after me to comply with the format of attaching these to the weekly agenda, so you have time to look at it. So I'll say up front, if you want to take time to look at it, I'll bring it back next week, and we can, you know, and I'll attach it to the agenda, so it's all formal.
I suggest we move forward, and we'll give you individually our constructive critiques. But I think we want to get this done before the end of the year. So I don't want to wait another week if we can.
Okay.
I mean, if there's something glaring, any one of us has a veto element to say, no, this isn't going to work. We have to run it by the whole board.
Okay.
But if we're just talking about, well...
Well, these are the criteria we talked about in the previous meeting.
We talked about it before,
I don't have to read this right
so,
now.
No. So what it is the cover call for application. What I did is I took the Title III... a submission process, you know, adapted it for McKenzie, took out some things, added some things. I did look at four-way and just to try, and so that you've got the cover is the newspaper advertisement, that's a top sheet, and then the next three sheets are the actual application that would be sent to or given to anybody who's interested. So that's what I just handed out. Okay, so that sounds good to me, and that is everything.
I appreciate that. Commissioner Walker, that's good stuff.
Yeah, I met with Commissioner Walker to go over this earlier this week. So
it's another good illustration of how hard government has to work to be able to give away money.
To do it right. I mean, in my opinion, I don't want to be criticized by some family member of the trust because, well, you just gave it to your friends. No, we had a robust process where everybody had an opportunity to apply, and hopefully we gave it to the most deserving, you know, with the intent and of this trust.
We're requiring
that's
them
a
to
lot
show
of money for a family to just contribute to this to the community and not have it be effective. That's
right.
Not okay.
And we're requiring, when you look through that, we're requiring them to show how it's going to contribute to the community and how to comply with all the different criteria that we established.
So the other thing, though, too, this thing that caught my attention is that this money was given by this McKenzie family.
How long ago?
And how has it been? How has it been used?
Yeah.
And that to me is the biggest incentive. Well, let's use this money. That's what they wanted.
Right. Right. It should not sit there.
No time like present.
Hey.
Anything else? Alrighty. So before you leave, shall we just look at this and then give comments back to him? And if there's nothing major on it, just let him authorize him to go ahead and advertise it?
Yeah, by the end of the week. By today's Thursday, yes. By Friday.
And then I'll put it on the paper, on Tuesday's paper. Wednesday.
While you're here, I wanted to update the board on something that we're discussing. The library had an issue with the pipe. Did I discuss this with you already? That there was a leaky pipe. They discovered it because the bill was pretty high. It was determined that it was underneath the staff meeting area. I made the determination based on their lease agreement and understanding that that's a stud out issue. So our agreement is that we take care of stud out stuff, they take care of stud in stuff, given certain things. And so I told facilities that we will pay for that pipe.
Library. This one?
This one.
Okay.
I just want to
That's fine.
Keep you in the loop on that.
Okay.
Those are things that I do occasionally, but sometimes I keep you up to date. I want to. My intent is to not make those determinations without.
Yeah, but if you wait to bring it to the board, it's another 1,000 gallons of water.
It's getting fixed. It's just too late for it. And I want to say that we are paying for that. The other thing while we're on building and safety is we're coming into possession of a building that belongs to us with the former Kairos Scholastic building. We need to do another evaluation.
I'm going out tomorrow.
You are? We need to go with Brian. Brian needs to be there.
So I think...
He's on vacation.
I didn't set the meeting up, so I don't know who else is going to be there.
Who did?
I think Larry and Julie and... Anyway, there's supposed to be a bunch of people there. I'll find out.
In my opinion, the only one that matters is Ryan from a facility standpoint to maintain that asset and winterize it. Not that we couldn't all hand it over.
I don't have Ryan's on that list. I don't remember.
I think he's on vacation this week.
Well, is he? Maybe that's why he was
so,
on this.
I don't remember. It's fine to do it from like a practical, what are we going to do with this building?
I Ryan think that might be more what it is what might be potential uses for the building,
that's
not
perfect.
The maintenance. I think
Ryan and I will go out next week and we'll say, yeah, we're going to have to spend $25,000 to get this work.
Yeah.
But it's different. I'm looking at the county, in my opinion, can authorize to winterize it. If it's an airport property, and they haven't been paying into the recovery reserve, I'm all for maintaining an asset, but not bringing it up to a standard that makes it, you know, like,
I think
we
what
want
you,
to turn it
when
into.
You go out, may I make the suggestion, there were some shingles missing, and there was some dry rot around some of the windows, which could allow water to leak into the walls. So look at those carefully and do that as part of the winterization.
I will.
Because if we have roof shingles missing and dry rot around doors or windows, it'll let moisture in.
Sure.
And we don't want that to happen.
No, and then you get a mold problem, and then you're seriously.
Oh, and there was mold in one room. Make sure that's removed
okay.
for the winter. Otherwise, it'll grow.
Right.
And the size of it right now, where it is, could probably be arrested fairly easily. But if we just lock the building up and leave it, it'll grow. So. So look at those things and make that part of the, not just winterizing pipes and heat. Make sure those are done too. Otherwise, it'll deteriorate before spring.
Right. It's too bad that's too far out, I think. I mean, because that might make a good building, planning, public works, you know, combined location. It's got enough room around it and all that, but it's way out there in Maryland, way out.
I like the way you think it's way too far.
Yeah, it's too far for... where we
didn't get that piece of paper from the assessor's office. Do you mind?
Hike over there.
That's her. And record it. When you get it recorded, bring it back to us.
I know. Tomorrow or next day. Whatever day you can get back.
I think that you guys will be able to come up with something. So.
Well, there are organizations that are always looking for places. It's just a matter of because it has not now been on our has not been occupied. There are certain standards that are going to have to be brought up. For instance, the single pane windows will have to be replaced, and the kitchen needs to be redone, and things like that. So, but
there needs to be an investment in the property before we can actually expect any money from the property. And that's part of the tension.
However, if there is some organization that wants to use it for a similar type of
arrangement, they can
think,
come up with the grant.
You know, we could give them. We could make some consideration for them to do that kind of thing because they're going to want to do things to fit their needs anyway when they go in. So.
Well, kind of like the reader board at the fair, I'm not inclined to just jump out of the box and spend a bunch of money and then that we could have, that some, you know, could have gotten for a grant that we'll never see. They'll want it in pristine condition and for $1 a year. That's not the deal I want to cover.
Something else, too. You know, something that I want to bring up here, and I don't know if it wouldn't happen while I'm still here, probably, but consideration is that the information that they gained on those reader boards, you know, the ones that you can sell ads on that rotate and all of which they're going to put out there, change the signs, those bring in a considerable amount of money. And the investment you put in, the $70,000 or $80,000, but you get $4,000 a month. We have locations in the county, on county properties, where we might be able to put some of those. One of them that I think should be investigated is the sign that is the industrial park sign that's on the freeway. It needs to be replaced. It's a stationary sign that's right on I-5, a mile post 60, whatever. Thank you. And it's right above, wherever that number is, right above. You can see, if you know it's there, you can see it. But if perhaps we could put one there, because the state does not allow you to put new signs, but you can put a replacement sign. Oh. So that might be a place to put one. And then sometimes you can attach them to buildings, where you put them on the side of a building. And not that we want to put one in the courthouse or the ambassador, but we may have buildings or something that we could put those on. So it's just an idea that for the investment, you get a huge return. Mm-hmm. And that return is good for the next eight years or so.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'd like to see that. I talked to Rob about it, and of course at the time we couldn't move forward with it, but it might be something we could do in the future for income producing things.
Mm-hmm.
For the county, because if you spend $88,000 or whatever to put one of those signs in, and you're getting $4,000 a month back, it pays for itself pretty quickly, and then you've got all the rest of its profit.
Sure.
For the next, 6 years or 7 years. Anyway, all right. Thank you, Arthur.
Thanks.
Board business, resolution number 2016-056 in the matter of reappointments to the Urban Area Planning Commission. And we have two people, Blair McIntyre and Dan McVeigh, and they've been on the board, and this is a reappointment for 4 years to expire in 2020. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay to move that away to forward to consent?
I'm with me.
Yeah.
I talked with the chair of the Urban Planning Commission, Gerard Fitzgerald. He was fine with that. And he's a champion for county issues on that as well. So I think we're well served.
And the next one's resolution number 2016-057 in a matter of the reappointment to the Josephine County Parks Board. This is this character, Larry Ford.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, okay. Yes.
What do you say? You think that's okay?
And I think you need to have him go to a meeting 5 days a week.
5 days a week?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
We'll put that in here.
Yeah.
It's Larry Ford's character. He has to go to meetings five days a week.
Point A.
We've got him on a pretty good schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. We move that one forward to consent also. Same Larry Ford, right? Okay.
Yeah, the thing. This is the thing that is so overlooked. Is that people like you?
Anybody like him?
Your involvement in the community. It's easy to take things for granted that we have this, instead of realizing, no, that's a commitment of time, effort, interest, and we're highly served and appreciated. What you do, and others like you that do that kind of thing.
You think he's running for office? I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
Just kidding.
I'm going to include would be the dog catcher.
Oh, you want to be a dog catcher?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we advertising for one?
Yeah, they have one on the board down there.
Awesome.
Go for it.
Yeah, we do.
Cool officer.
We do. There's one open. There is one open.
Take care.
Maybe I'll apply for that. Starting in the first year.
You and how many dogs have bit you? I don't think we would hire you. It's
Yeah.
Dog
that dog scent that you have that they just want to look to you on.
My dog loves me.
That's the problem.
That's deadly. Okay. Any matters from commissioners?
So yesterday, they resurrected this old thing that they used to do, which was a county tour. County forestry tour every year. I don't know who was in attendance, but I wasn't able to be there because I had another meeting in Eugene. I was going to try to do both, but it just wouldn't happen. But Dave Streeter went over to Coos County and met with their forester, a couple of their commissioners. It went really well, and we've agreed to host one next year, spring or fall, over here. And it's just Their forest lands are apples and oranges compared to us.
Rita suggests it be done in the spring rather than fall, and the reason I suggest that is in case there's a fire.
That's a good idea.
Because if there's a fire, you won't be able to do it. It'll be canceled.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So,
So that happened yesterday. I would be happy to give you an update of my meeting in Eugene, but it'll be an executive session next week.
Okay.
So it was concerning litigation.
Okay.
And then the last thing that I have is I've gotten, I think we probably all have, several reports of a growing issue in Merlin. There's a person who operates maybe a secondhand store, close proximity to a gas station there, who's really bringing down the aesthetics of the area. And I've gotten at least a half a dozen people who have talked to me about this. I think we've gotten formal complaints. I think maybe we need to bring it to the board's attention for what we can do. Probably an executive session.
Has our enforcement person been out there?
I don't know. That's a planning. I don't know. So that would be your wheelhouse. I just wanted to bring it to you.
Well, I haven't received any complaint. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything about it.
You can talk to the fourth afterwards.
Okay.
They'll fill you in.
Now that we have a person out there, don't we have somebody that can go out and say you're in violation of this?
And then it's delightful, too, because she's been out on several of these grows already and has tagged them for fence lines and that kind of stuff.
This isn't a grow. It's a business that's gotten out
too
of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have one in Murphy, too, that's getting out of hand.
Yes, I've seen that one, too. So maybe she can see both of those. It doesn't look like they sell anything because you drive by regularly.
I drive by every day.
And I don't see anything.
I don't see anything.
But I do see stuff coming in. It's just
there's mountains of stuff that has come in, but it's the same stuff that's been there for 4 months.
Yeah.
You don't have any inventory? You can't sell.
Well, I wouldn't buy any of it.
Well, one person's junk, another person's treasure, and my dad. I enjoy that stuff. So. And I'm getting to too. Just if it's around, if it's old enough, it's kind of an antique piece of farm equipment or whatever, I like that stuff.
Yeah, I have one of those. It was one of these buckets that the horses drag kind of thing, and I was trying to move it, and it fell over on top of me and cut my shin.
Well,
it must weigh 400 pounds.
Plane, but it's, there's another word for those wheelbarrows without wheels. They're pretty cool. Drag. Something like that. Mm.
That's what fell on me, was a drag thing. It's like a shallow bucket thing.
We have one, good too. That's all I have.
That's all you have.
Question on the things that don't get brought up on a regular basis. A while back, like almost 8 months ago.
That's a while.
Has anybody had any update on the fire standards issue?
Yes.
Yeah, but there are things that occur behind one's back unknown to individuals.
I was sent a final on that one, and I think she's got to schedule it to bring it in.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I will talk to Jenny and see when she'll have it ready to bring it here, because I got one. Probably been about a month.
Okay. Well, good.
So, yes, they've been working on that. That committee has been working on all of that.
Good.
So... That's been happening. All right.
Easy to put, yeah.
Anything else, Commissioner Heck?
No, ma'am.
All right. Liaisons update, anything there? Something that's going to be coming before the board, speaking of liaisons, is that this is kind of an odd request because I'm making the economic development request because we now have an economic development person in Julie. But I'm making the request because it is a contract with Civil West Engineering on the North Valley Industrial Park School Project, and we want to include the airport in that study. It's $20,000. I'm requesting $20,000. That $20,000 come out of economic development because it is an economic development situation. The other was grants for Civil West, but to add it would be $20,000. We need that piece before we can go to the next part of the project with infrastructure authorities, because we need to have that piece in there. I'm also working with legal in regards to including that in the North Valley General Service District, and we discovered something interesting. Probably the first step will be a survey, but we discovered something interesting about it is that some of the airport property is already in that district. So from the initial adoption, there's like two or three parcels that are already
in the North Valley Industrial?
In the North Valley General Service District.
All General Service, okay.
Mm-hmm. Already in the General Service District. So we don't know how that ended up. We don't know how that happened.
Hmm.
But when I talked to Pat in legal, she said it may be, because she's going to pull the files and look at it, but she said it may be that we're going to have to do a meets and bounds and get a survey on all of it before we can incorporate in the district. But in the meantime, we need the $20,000 to go ahead and use it.
We don't have to meets and bounds. doing anything yet. It's just part of the district.
Right. So, well, that's what she's checking in. Can we do it with just by all the lot, you know, listing all the lots?
I hope so. Legal's always working for
us. I know. So I'm going to go talk to her today. But anyway, that's where we are on that. I will not be here. I think that's going to be brought forward by Julie next Thursday, because I sent her all that information.
Okay.
But that's what it's about, is we want to add it to the Civil West contract. And so to do it, we need to pay for it.
Conceptually, of course. I mean, I think we've always discussed that.
Right.
I'm not going to miss an opportunity to say I think a project manager would have probably seen that element. So I'm gonna keep championing the fact that it's not appropriate, it's not a Mr. Walker's intentions. I feel as though this is and this is not meant to be a criticism, other than the fact that it's a well-intended commissioner with a well-intended manager working on a project that needs to happen. That's the Demick Tower before I got here.
Okay, that we intend to do. Project
I'm
manager
going to continue to hear excuses, and there will never be an answer.
Well, it's not an excuse, but Rob and I have talked to him many times. So, and working with IFA, we've been working with IFA all along, so that will be what will happen when we go into the next stage. So, that being said, that's what's going to come forward when I'm gone next week. Okay. So, Julie, we'll bring that in. Okay, any other miscellaneous items? No, I just want to mention the Women Veterans Conference that I'm working on. I'm getting sponsors. All Care is one, and the Zonta Club is another. It's not going to be a really expensive type of conference, so I'm not asking for large sums of money, but just enough to pay for, you know, the refreshments and the table things. And
what about this JCLI?
I'm just thinking there was that community meeting where there was like, tell us what we can do. This is a project that just kind of sprung out of, you know, the need. And I'm trying to keep them in the forefront of things that they tangibly could be involved in. And integrating youth with veterans is always a neat thing. I know that Lisa likes to do that stuff. But I'm just going to throw the Community Foundation out there as if there's even groundwork of hosts for,
I know Zonta has agreed to do some of lead for registration and keeping the water on the table, and they have agreed that some of them would do that as well. So I'm putting all that together. Lisa's gone for 2 weeks and won't be back. She's been gone now for all this week, so she'll be gone next week as well. So we're putting it together, and we have the speakers lined out, and we have vendors lined out, and it's going to be at the Flower Building, October 27th. You're welcome to stop by.
For sure.
That
sounds good.
And the other thing,
expectation on
attendees,
a number of attendees? Or?
We're going to limit it to 100 participants. The reason we're going to limit to 100 participants is that we don't want it to be open-ended and people at the last minute and you're not prepared, you know, so we're going to limit it to that. If we get 100, great. If we don't, fine. You know, we don't even know that we'll get that many, but we certainly want to just have a number to plan, and that's the number we've selected to plan. The question I have is, do we know of anyone in the county, do we have any kind of podiums, portable podium somewhere?
Ryan, get you one.
Okay, I'll talk to Ryan. Yeah, now, since I've never done this before, can anyone from Ryan's department do
the Fairgrounds has a podium. There's a podium.
Do
there.
They have one?
They do.
She didn't tell me they had one. So
they do. We use it for the Mineral Summit, and they use it for things.
Okay,
that,
and Lisa's going to provide the sound system. So she's just going to provide a sound system, but because they didn't have one of those. And no, and of course, the presenters that we haven't heard back on some of those yet as to what they might need as far as projection system or whatever.
Yeah.
So we'll deal with
We've
that.
Got that. John can get you.
Okay, we'll talk to John if we need that.
Just give him a heads up.
I'm gonna try to give everybody plenty of time. And then the other thing is, if we want banners hung up in the fairgrounds, is that bomb?
The fairgrounds will do that. They have
the fairgrounds will do it. Okay. All right, because I've never rented a building at the fairgrounds before, so didn't know. Okay.
I had a couple of an email that just came in from Parks. They've been working on this deed transfer element with legal, and
Deed transfer on what?
For Grand Hill Cemetery plot.
Oh.
So there's people that are wanting to sell theirs. There's people that are wanting to buy theirs. We don't have any new ones.
Keep that.
This has been going on since Doreen was here. And they had a process. I want permission to give legal a deadline or something that says by the end of the second week in September, or Sarah's going to do whatever Sarah wants to do for the process to transfer the deed. It shouldn't be that complicated.
There should be no issue for transferring that deed.
It doesn't seem like a very complex thing, but she's got four people now that are waiting. At one point, it's like one or two. Now it's four. She just wants a process.
So is the body up at Helen Hall while they're waiting?
What I'm hoping is we
seriously,
don't...
Seriously.
This could make the paper...
That's a legitimate question.
I mean,
yeah.
In other words, is the body...
It's inevitable that these are going to be used. If people are paying money to transfer them, they have an intent to use them, and nobody gets out of this job alive. This life. So,
are you telling me I've only got 130 days left?
No, you're going to be here until yeah.
Your life will end. No, I would agree.
This is an inevitable...
Some easily... design solution for this complex legal thing. Okay, is there a simpler way to get this thing done? And I wouldn't have any problem of saying, Sarah, with your zeal and everything else, look at it. How can it be done? And
well, I don't want to do that. That's not her job. She's paying for legal to do this.
What I'm wondering, Harry, if you'd wanted any commissioner, you'd have done it long ago, I'm sure. Someone already owns a deed on that.
Oh, of course.
Why can't they just sell the property and assign the deed? Why does it have to go here?
Because we have to know who owns it.
Sure.
Well, yeah, but the title company can transfer deeds and tell us who owns it.
I don't want us to solve it. I'm not asking for us to solve it. That's not our job. It's not Sarah's job. Legal needs to come up with this process. But it's been floundering, and Sarah has
okay, give me a deadline. I'm all for that.
You're okay with that?
I'm okay with that. I'm
okay
with that.
So it'll get us
as long as it's
absurd.
Yeah, I know, but it's like everything else. The barking dog would get the attention.
Exactly.
Okay, I can see Simon out in the hall barking.
But it's also making sometimes something into more than it needs to be.
Yeah, it can.
I don't want it to be that. I'm not saying that this situation is. And I know it's got a lot going on, so.
I understand.
I'm about to walk across the hall and give them something very big.
Yeah. Yes.
And we'll fill you in.
And then we'll give them
you're
going to
fill me in now?
No, I can't.
Okay. All right. Very good. That's all I had. Like I said, I'm going to be gone next week. I'm leaving Wednesday afternoon, flying to Arizona. It's my parents' 70th wedding anniversary.
Only 70?
70, yeah. Wow. And I just found out about the party last night. So I made reservations.
When are you coming back?
And I will be back in the office on the 6th, the 56th of the holiday.
Okay.
So this is really a quick trip.
Really quick trip.
Okay. So fly down, go to the party, fly back. So, all righty. We are adjourned at 10:24.